Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you. Getaway Friday, May the 21st, 2021. 5/21/21. 14 and a half minutes past the hour. It is Friday night. Friday Night Live here on WWGH Radio. The weekend before the big weekend, the first weekend of summer, the official kickoff of summer next weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Won't that be fun? Joined in studio by Angie Evers. Angie, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
You looked at me shocked.
Oh, that you were introducing me?
Well, I think that next weekend was
Memorial Day
weekend.
Right, yeah. I'm just ready for this warm weather. I love this weather. I could be out in it all day long.
Well, it's okay, to a point. But we're inside right now, and it's warm.
I'm perfect.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
It's 79 degrees.
I love it.
This is like the old studio at the mall, when we would announce the high temperatures. 79 degrees currently in the WWGH studios.
But I'm always cold, so I love the hot weather.
You know, I don't know what's going on here with the atomic clock. The atomic clock is back in tow, and we also have the new atomic clock given to us by Pastor Heilman.
Yeah, that was really nice of him to give you a new clock.
Now, I heard back from last week that people liked the inside stories, kind of the gossipy things that we were talking about last week. So, if anybody wants to give us a buzz, if anybody has any questions, comments, concerns, give us a buzz. It is Friday night, beautiful Friday night. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here on the station. Now, today, there was a lot of talk about graves. With Memorial Day next weekend, I think it's a perfect time to talk about this. Now, tell people your understanding of the grave of John Grimm.
John Grimm. From what I understand, he died by a falling tree. I'm guessing that he died right there in that spot where the grave is. Like there was a
on
tree
on Cardington
there.
Road.
Yes.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
But he has his own address.
Well, I think it's they just use the house that's right there. Their mailbox. Because it's right beside a mailbox. The house is across the street, so I think they're just using that address. Does that make sense?
So you think the house across the street has no address, that is their address?
Right.
Oh, see, I don't know.
That's what I would assume.
I thought there was an address across the street.
Oh. I don't know. I guess if we looked up, like, the property search, you could probably look it up online. And see that house number goes to that mailbox goes to that house that's across the street.
But how many people own, if you own the property that a house is on, how many people own the property across the street?
I'm not sure. Maybe it's the farmland that they own. I mean, because that was all farmland, right? A field.
I mean, would you put your mailbox across the street?
Well, all the mailboxes, like, on a road like that, they're on one side of the street.
But they don't own that property.
I'm not sure.
Like, if your mailbox is on the opposite side of the street, you don't own that property across the street.
Yeah, probably not. But maybe they own the land that's across the street.
See, I don't know why you would want to buy property with a grave on it. One grave. Because you could never do anything with it. Because I'm sure you can. There's laws against disturbing a grave.
No, but somebody had actually taken it like a, I don't know what you would call it, a wire, basically, and strapped up to keep up the wall. Like, because there's like a cement wall surrounding the headstone, and somebody strapped it in, like, because the walls were falling down.
So this is where the tree hit him.
I would imagine.
But there's no trees in that area now.
No, I bet they took the tree down after it fell and killed this guy.
And never to put up a tree again.
Nope.
Because, and he died in the 1800s.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out his significance in the history of anything.
Maybe because it was just a grim story. Ha ha ha.
And they changed his name.
No, his name was John Grimm. A grim story.
Well, I mean, can you just get buried where you are killed?
I don't know.
He sounds like a not so bright fellow, because you usually hear a tree falling. For a tree falling to kill you, that would be awful hard. I mean, that would be like a 1 in a million shot that the tree would hit you just right to kill you.
Yeah, but maybe, like, it was a storm or something. I know that's happened in town before. I know, like, in Marion, there was one time, I don't know, years ago, because I was living in town at the time, a tree had struck a car and there was a person inside the car and that person died.
Well, I could see that because the car would kill you.
But maybe it just started storming and he couldn't get away.
From a tree?
Maybe.
See, trees don't move. That's why if a storm was happening and the tree was a little rough, I probably wouldn't be standing next to it.
Yeah, but just like the person who died in the car, don't you think the car could have moved?
Right, but they probably didn't see or hear the tree. Because they were in a car.
I don't know. Maybe he was in a horse and buggy and couldn't get away.
But why bury him right there?
I don't know.
And why has it survived? It wasn't a graveyard. I mean, are there dead people just buried all over Marion County that we don't know that the headstones have just been removed?
There could be.
How would you like to be digging up a sewer? And oh, all of a sudden there's some bones.
I'm sure it has happened.
Well, that's one of the graves on the grave tour of Marion County. Now, the other one, of course, is Gypsy Queen. I love Gypsy Queen. We've talked about it many times on this show. A peck of gypsies were coming through Marion in the early 1900s. And their queen died in childbirth while she was here. And the St. Mary's Church donated a grave for the mother and the child. And they're buried out in St. Mary's Cemetery. And there are pennies, and that's a neat a grave to go see, because there are pennies all over the gravestone. And the joke, or I guess not a joke, the myth is if you put a penny on it, that's good luck. If you take a penny off, that's bad luck. And there's a wooden cross that marks her grave, Queen Cleo, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So that's Gypsy Queen. That's a big one. And then you have Merchant Ball. People like to go see the Merchant Ball over in the Marion Cemetery. And then, of course, you have President Harding's grave. We all go take pictures and sled next to that one. And then there's Ebenezer Roseberry, which I'm not sure where I was trying to find the book tonight. I couldn't find it. I'm not sure where he's buried, but he lived in Marion in the 1800s, and he got drunk. Or no, he died. And his friends got drunk at his wake and loaded him up on the back of the horse and buggy. Somewhere on the side road, they hit a rock, he fell out of the back, and they just left him there.
So did you find the actual story on it in the paper archive?
You know, I need to look him up. No, but I did look up Eber Baker. Now, this is the mystery of because Ebenezer Roseberry, to my knowledge, was not an important guy. That's just an interesting story. But I think it's a true story. I'd like to go find Ebenezer Roseberry's grave, because I think it's on the side of the road somewhere, too.
So where do you think it's at?
I don't know. It's in the book. Does anybody have... It's the Tales of Salt Rock. The Sage of Salt Rock is the book that it's in. And it used to be here at the station, but I don't think it's here anymore. You know what? It might be here, a matter of fact. I think it might be in one of those boxes that was in that desk at the old studio. Do I remember seeing that in there? It might have been. Can you talk for a few minutes while I go, no?
Probably not.
Oh, darn. That just dawned on me that I think it might have been in that box.
We'll have to look for it at break.
Okay, well, maybe we'll come back with the story of Ebenezer Roseberry. But there's that. But we can talk this hour about Eber Baker, because Eber Baker makes no sense at all. Eber Baker is the founder of Marion. And he donated the land that became the Quarry Street Cemetery. Now, the Quarry Street Cemetery is still over there on Quarry Street. It's like in somebody's backyard. But it went in disarray years ago, and the Marion Cemetery was built, and they had more land. And there is a marker for Eber Baker over in the Marion Cemetery. But there's no record of his body being exhumed or taken over there. So who really knows where he is?
So I was listening to you at lunch, and you were talking about, I think that guy, he was buried somewhere where people were parking?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they are anymore. I think they finally put a fence up.
Where was that at?
It's Quarry Street. It's over off of Greenwood.
Oh, okay. That area.
It's right across from Henry Lumber.
Okay.
But it's there's probably not even much left over there. Years ago, I went over there before they put the fence up. You can still get in. The fence is not a big
thing. So there's an actual cemetery there.
Kinda. I mean, you would, if you drove by, you probably wouldn't know it was unless you went up on it, because most of the tombstones are knocked over and have been vandalized, and it's not a big plotted area. It's not a huge area at all.
Yeah, because I've been down that road, and that doesn't strike me like I remember seeing anything like that.
It's right across from Henry Lumber. When you turn down there, it's on the right. I think it's right behind the first house. There's an area of land. People used to park there during the popcorn festival. They'd pull right up on the people.
Huh.
And that's why they eventually put a fence up.
So the people are in the fence.
Now, they weren't for a long time. Not till about 10 years ago.
Okay. Well, we'll have to drive over. We drive all over anyway. We'll have to drive that way.
But it's strange, because if the Marion Cemetery has no record of the body being transported over there.
So, did you look that up then online?
Yeah, I looked all the Eber Baker stuff up. There is no record in the Marion Star Archives. Matter of fact, the people who did stories on the Quarry Street Cemetery and who did stories on Eber Baker say the same thing. There's no record that he donated that land to be Marion Cemetery. He was buried there, but there is a marker in the Marion Cemetery, and the story was that he was exhumed and taken over there, but there's no record at the Marion Cemetery of that ever happening.
So you had contacted the Marion Cemetery?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Well, if anybody knows anything, let me know. Does anybody know anything about Eber Baker? You know, I was shocked. His relatives were still around in the early 1900s. Like, he had some daughters and grandkids. So and they weren't named Baker. So his relatives still could be around this area.
Probably.
So I don't know. Does anybody know anything about Eber Baker or anything about the Quarry Street Cemetery or the movement of Eber Baker from the Quarry Street Cemetery to where he lies now? Well, does he? We don't know. See, that's the thing. I believe it's all, from what I've researched now, I think it's just a publicity stunt, because I think we don't want to say that our founder is buried
along the road?
Well, where people were parking.
Right.
In a dilapidated cemetery.
Well, now I want to go drive by this place and see it.
Well, let me show you the, I think I might have a story here about it. I was going to save this for Monday, but we'll get into it tonight. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Here's a picture, by the way, of Eber Baker.
Oh.
Young and old. Okay. This story was, oh, we're getting a phone call. Let's take the phone call, then we'll get back to this scintillating tale. Go ahead, caller.
I'm going to need you to do your research and get your story down pat.
Okay, give me that again. I missed the first part.
Okay, I said, before we start our bus tours, we're going to need to know our stuff.
Well, I got the...
Like, know this stuff. We can't just, hey, over here, I think this guy was buried over here.
Well, that's, I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to tell that Marion had some... There was some chicanery that went on. They said they exhumed this...
I've never heard that one before. What was that, chicanery?
Chicanery.
There was some. I've never even heard that before.
Well, we like to think of our...
Is that in a sentence?
The people in Marion who moved Eber Baker's body were up to chicanery.
Okay, cool.
You know what the
I don't know if I ever get on that show where you could call somebody the millionaire. So I've got to have your phone number before I go on there.
You're going to have to call me.
Right.
You know what the W in WWGH stands for, don't you?
Wacky?
Words.
Oh.
Words.
Wacky words.
Wacky words. But did you know that Eber Baker was the founder of Marion?
Yeah, remember I called you this morning. We talked about it.
Well, but I wasn't sure if you knew what his position was before we talked about
it. Well, I mean, I didn't, like, ever really research it, but I had heard, you know, that he was one of the founding, I guess you're saying the founding person.
Do you know where he is now? Do you have a guess? I mean, we really don't
know. No, but that's what I'm saying. If we're going to commandeer a bus and we're going to be doing tours, we should probably know what we're talking about. It can't all be just Kool-Aid and Twinkies.
You know, if we commandeer a bus, some people could say that we were up to chicanery.
Well, they'll never catch us. You've never seen me drive.
Oh, well, so we're going to be driving. So we're going to end up in a cemetery by the time this bus tour is over with.
Buckle up, partner. That's all I can say.
Well, I hope we get to the bottom of the Eber Baker story. The John Grimm thing, I get that. And
now, was he the guy that fell out of the cart?
No, that's Ebenezer Roseberry.
Oh, could you just imagine that?
Well, his friends were a little topsy-turvy that night. They had one too many.
Well.
John Grimm was hit by the tree.
Hit by a what?
A tree.
Hit by a tree. Oh, what, like lightning or something struck it down?
We don't really know. You know, but he's just buried out there on Cardington Road, and then we've got Gypsy Queen over here in the St. Mary's Cemetery, and Merchant Ball over in the Marion Cemetery, and we've got the Harding Memorial here. So we've got a really solid tour of like six or seven spots.
Here's one for we have a plethora of information we can give them.
We do. We have a plethora of information. Well, I don't know. Do you think the people on the bus when I'm do you have a speaker on the bus like that I can speak into?
No, but it's only 12 feet, so I'm pretty sure the people in the back will be able to hear you just fine.
Now, when I stand up to tell, because I want to face the crowd.
Well, that's kind of dangerous.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not gonna break hard, are you? And then I'll end up in the back of the bus.
Because this bus breaks for squirrels and cats and all sorts of woodland creatures. And I don't think I'd be standing up to fire. I mean, you try it if you want to, but I wouldn't.
So I'm supposed to stare to the front and try to talk to these people?
No. I mean, you could, like, just turn around in your chair and kind of, like, arch your neck, but I wouldn't stand up if I were you.
Well, you know, does this bus, is it a smooth ride? I've never rode the city bus.
It depends on what street you're on. Some people have said that it's a smoother ride on the back of a logging truck than going down South Prospect with me, but, hey...
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I was going to ask you this the other day because I saw a show about this. Has anybody ever called you instead of calling 911 for a trip to the hospital?
No.
Now, what would you do?
You know what's funny? Like, I don't know, maybe when I was 16, 17, I was at nurse's aid for a little while, and literally, like, I just changed people's diapers, and, I mean, not that that's not an important job, take me the wrong way, but, I mean, you change the depends, and you help get them up, and feed, just real basic stuff. And for the longest time, people would call me, like, when they had, not life or death situations going on, but, like, you know, certain medical issues, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but they'd say, well, didn't you work in a hospital? And it's like, I wasn't performing surgery.
Well, they would call you, like, for heart trouble.
Not like major things, but I don't know, like maybe questions about fevers or, you know, basic stuff that I didn't even know. And I'm thinking, Just because you might have spoon-fed someone pudding or mashed potatoes, that doesn't mean that you're, like, can practice medicine now.
Well, you know, all I know is that the Memorial Day Marion bus tour of famous graves, this is going to be the biggest thing to hit. We'll put this town back in business. This is going to be our cuckoo clock.
Well, like I said, I mean, you just were bragging today. I know where the bodies are and all that. So you know we need to talk.
Was that bragging? I don't know that I was bragging.
You were pretty proud of your connections. So you know who you need to talk to get this cleared.
The mayor's going to be on Tuesday. I'll ask him. He's probably already heard.
I'll definitely be tuning in. So for refreshments, we never really got that.
Lemonade and Twinkies.
Nothing concrete. Lemonade and what?
Twinkies.
Okay, that's cool.
I can get you a good deal on some cotton candy Twinkies.
That'd be all right.
Yeah, so we're going to work this out, and it's going to be big. It's going to be the biggest thing to hit. We're going to have people. See, you don't understand. How many does this bus seat?
About 12.
Oh, 12?
Yeah. 12?
12. Can I go out, stand in my backyard, and talk to more people than this?
Well, we might have to do multiple tours, Scott.
My.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
12? Yeah. They can't double up?
Do what?
Can't they double up in the seats?
No, that's 6 seats with two people per seat.
Do you have seat belts on this bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep,
sure now, why do school bus doesn't have seatbelts?
I mean, doesn't that blow your mind? There's so many things like that just they don't make sense.
Did you hear the interview this morning with Nan Whaley?
I heard bits and pieces.
Did you find
She says, you know, like somebody that I'm not even a registered voter. You know, I know that's terrible, right? But if I were, I mean, that seems like somebody I would probably vote for.
Well, didn't you find it?
Had her stuff together.
She went right for the jugular this morning, which is what I found. And she went right ahead, and I said,
"Not really," because I heard you kept trying to like, well, "What do you think of DeWine? What do you think of DeWine?" And she's like, "He's weak." And I thought, okay, that's that's mild, but yet it's not like she didn't say, "Oh, I don't have anything bad to say about him at all."
I've never listened to myself, but is that what I sound like when I'm interviewing these gubernatorial candidates?
I always laugh.
What do you think of DeWine? What do you think of DeWine?
I'm going to tell you, I always crack up laughing when I hear your interviews because when people, you can tell when you ask like the hardball questions that they don't really want to answer, and you'll go like mosey on over to something else, but then you always find a way to come back and you ask the same question, but only you word it a little differently to like try to get them to answer what they didn't want to answer in the first place.
But we got it this morning, didn't we? The first time she wouldn't say anything, and then she called him weak. But she
right, and then you probably stopped there like mission accomplished.
I thought, done deal. Check that one off the list. Well, you thought I was rough on the mayor, what, like 2 times ago?
Okay, I didn't say rough. Let me say this. I was impressed because it was like, I don't know. And I mean, what else would you expect from a good interviewer? But you were just, it was like there was nothing was off limits. You know, you just asked him everything you wanted to ask and didn't hold back. And I was like, wow. Some of it was pretty, you know.
But wouldn't you do that?
Like squirmy, you know? Like, oh my gosh, you said that, you know?
You were squirming at what he was saying or what I was asking?
But kind of like what you were asking. Like, you just kept, you don't take no for an answer. Like I said, if you don't get the answer you want, you just come back after a few more questions and you try to disguise the same question. But, like, it didn't, I don't know why I'm explaining to you what it is that you do. You know what you do.
Well, not really.
You have no clue about what
I gotta tell you. Well, like 70% of my show in the morning, I'm actually asleep during it. I don't know if people know that.
That would totally be me. I would be falling asleep with the microphone.
70%.
The golden voice would introduce me, and all people would hear would be me falling log.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, you do something once, and I know that golden voice thing will stick now where I say, thank you, ma'am, with a golden voice. But I used to say...
I miss the old days. What was that? I used to do the triple greeting. Good morning. Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
People come up to me and say that. They say, why don't you do that anymore?
I think you should do that again.
I don't have the breath anymore.
I would be listening to that. My kids they'd be like, why does he have to say it three times? I'm like, I don't know. He wants me to have a really good afternoon. I don't know.
No, did I ever tell the story of the real reason why I did that?
No.
Oh, there was a reason. When I started in radio,
I just always thought it was funny. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Here's how that got. It was actually good morning. Good morning. Good morning. When I started, because what happened was, I had never worked in radio. I don't have any kind of broadcasting or journalism degree. My degree is in education. So when I got hired in at WMRN years ago, you know, you ran your own board. Well, I'd never run a soundboard in my life. So you would go into the studio, you had to run your own microphone, and you had to, you know, you always announce the temperature there and things like, because it's all right in front of you. Well, when I first did my own show on Saturday mornings, I would do a 3-hour show on Saturday mornings, there was nobody else in the building to ask, you know, if I did something wrong. You just would go dead air. So what I would do is, to make sure I had everything right as I was coming out of the news to go on the air, what I was doing, because I'd go, good morning, good morning, good morning. What I was doing was making sure I had everything just right. I was giving myself time to turn the microphones up, make sure I was at a right level, make sure I had the next commercial stopped. It was just a time buyer is all it was.
That's a really good idea.
Yep, that's what it was, and then it stuck, and then it's like heading to the dugout. I stopped doing that. Heading to the dugout. I stopped doing it one day, and somebody called and said, why'd you stop heading for the dugout?
And sometimes your interviews will go over, and I'm thinking, he should have been that dugout like 5 minutes.
All the things you get stuck with. My goodness.
There are people that will listen to your, I don't know what do you call them, in between your, like when you take your breaks, I want to say commercials, I don't know what.
Spots.
But you know the little ditty where you guys talk about the news chopper?
Oh, yes.
People are like, news chopper? I've never seen any news chopper. remember when Charlie used to talk about the fruitcake with the BLF, bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake?
BLF, yeah.
People thought he was serious, and they were like, that is it. It was like a big topic of conversation. Oh, that's so gross. Could you imagine eating that? And I think they really thought he was serious.
No, you know what? That is so funny you bring that up. Because, you know, I don't know how many of the, I did them with Ted and I did them with Charlie, but I think all together there's probably about 30 of them. And then we have different ones at Christmas. But that one, the BLF, which those were written, you know, Charlie and I wrote those and we just performed them. But somebody, they must really sound like we're having a conversation, because I was at an event one time at Christmas and somebody came up and they said, I can't believe Charlie Evers eats bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake.
Yeah,
that's disgusting.
So good. He does it so good that they really, I mean, I'm sure some people would, you know, probably realize it was a joke, but there were some people that were really genuinely disgusted. I can hear the passengers and the bus talking amongst themselves, and they're like, oh, that's so gross. Could you imagine that?
But no, we have an authority, though, here now. His daughter's sitting right here. Now, he would have eaten bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake if somebody would have dared him.
He definitely would have.
He would have.
He would have?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he ate the yuckiest stuff sometimes.
I love all those things individually, but there is no way I could put it all together.
Well, the last Christmas he was around here, remember, he was talking about eating a poinsettia.
Oh, you guys are hilarious every holiday.
Oh, we have fun around here on the holidays.
Oh, yeah. That's like my favorite time of the year to tune in. I think it is. I remember Glenn Coble had me dying laughing last Christmas when he said something, the fruitcake. I mean, I was literally trying to drive the bus in tears. He said the fruitcake looked like a McCall threw up. I don't know. Why was that so funny to me? I don't know. But it was.
Well, Glenn likes a good drink, so that was the first time he was really in on our drinking episode. You know, there are some things that I hear back from Christmas. It has become a special time here over the last 7 years, and I don't know what it is, but you don't really laugh at something you've heard before or something you were a part of, but there are things, and they're usually Christmas things, and a lot of them, I mean, oh gosh, I mean, I remember, I certainly remember Charlie doing his imitation of Bob at the last Christmas.
Oh, who could forget? And then it's funny because, like, he'll call Bob will call in early in the day, and you can, you know, make him out fine. And then by the end of the show on Christmas Eve or whatever, it's like...
He's drinking with us.
He's gone.
He was into the bag last year pretty early.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, the news chopper, people, like this one guy, he just went on, I've never seen any news chopper. And I just, how long... I mean, not that it's not great hearing about the Goo Goo Dolls feeding their kids, but how long do we got to hear that? Can we get some new commercials?
Well, Glenn likes the one about, he always about
the
cries.
Smoke.
Yeah, the goat. Yeah, he about cries every
no,
time he hears the goat.
Stroke, what they're talking about. My blood pressure was 180, and I couldn't.
Doesn't that scare you every time you hear it?
I sit there and think.
My blood pressure's higher than
that. It makes me feel like, you know, I need to do some emotional eating because I'm so tired of hearing that commercial and mom's going to have a...
No, Glenn tears up over the goat one. Hey, Dad, you're
goat.
The goat.
Oh, the greatest of all time. Okay, I'm thinking goat. How in the world did I miss any of these commercials?
Yeah, but you know, the Christmas is just the one where when Santa Claus comes in, let me say this the right way because I know the kids are out there listening. When Santa Claus comes in, we've had some interesting moments with Santa Claus over the years.
Well, I can only imagine.
Last year, Santa Claus burst his belt right in the studio live on this. I couldn't even.
Oh, no. Well, just make sure he doesn't blow his ankle out because then he'll form a chemical dependency like that other. Brought that one commercial.
Too much BLF.
Have a good show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, you guys.
Oh, memories, memories, memories.
Yo, we laughed a lot at Christmas this past year.
Oh, this past Christmas was great, and I thought it would be a little down during the COVID, but we had a great time.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. 740-383-9944. I love those Christmas specials, and I'm so glad they all exist on audio forever. That's what something, I mean, out of the archive, that's what I would really want to keep, are those Christmas specials. Holy mackerel. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, Pastor Craig, how are you?
Hey, good, how are you?
I'm doing great. So you've got your graveyard tour.
I do.
You've got your bus and your bus driver, and I am more than willing to take care of the refreshments for you. I will provide the refreshments.
Really?
Now, I do have a little bit of problem with lemonade and Twinkies.
Oh, okay.
We can do the lemonade, and we can do Twinkies, but I think it would be more appropriate to do lemonade... popcorn, because, I mean, come on, Marion, Ohio, popcorn, you know, whatever. And then we got to do the bacon, lettuce, fruitcake.
Bacon, lettuce, fruitcake. I'll tell you what, I would not go near a fruitcake with a 10-foot pole, but anybody who wants it, they, you know what, well, probably, what did our bus driver say there, 12 seats on that bus? She could get 12 people?
12 seats on the bus. Yeah, but how many people can we strap on the roof? I mean, come on now.
Well, after the BLF, to be honest, anybody who eats fruitcake, we're going to need 12 graves. So thank goodness that the Marion Cemetery sells them 2-for-1.
I love fruitcake. I'm taking this personally.
Oh, no, not the Claxton.
I love fruitcake. If people drop off fruitcake at the studio, just set them aside for me. That's fine. I love it.
You know, one time, we were over on East Center down there at Beltone, and they dropped off some fruitcake, and it cracked the sidewalk.
I believe it. No, I believe it. I mean, when I was a kid in the 60s, my dad would bring home those fruitcake at Christmas that everybody at his job would give to him, and I think the box said, you know, like 5 pounds or something. I mean, it's like a brick.
Well, I think back to Christmases of years past, and one year I was on the air with Marge and Charlie, and Charlie liked the fruitcakes as well, and he dropped just a piece, and the whole table collapsed in the studio. Pictures were crooked on the walls till New Year's.
I do believe that. I believe
they,
that.
They were. Hey, Pastor, what's coming up on Sunday morning, 11:10 to noon?
What's coming up Sunday morning is we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to do some updates on some news stories that I've done in previous weeks. And I know I mentioned to you, I'm working on getting, for Memorial Day Sunday, I'm working on getting an interview with a retired 4-star general from the United States Air Force, and she is an extremely fascinating individual.
Perfect. Sunday morning, definitely this week, and then Memorial Day weekend, day before Memorial Day, 11:10 Sunday morning till 12 p.m., and the gravesite tour coming up. Thank you, Pastor.
Hey, real quick, did your atomic clock reset?
Oh, it did. You know, the weird thing, though, and it's a great atomic clock, I've showed it to everybody who's come in today, is that it says indoor temperature and outdoor temperature. Now, it says outside is 78 and inside is 72, but it's got to be warmer than 72 in here.
Yeah, it probably is. But at least it reset with the proper time.
The time is right. We are in business.
Sounds great.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
He bought that clock. God bless him. You know, what a nice thing. What a nice gesture.
Yeah, that is really nice.
And he's going to pay for this gravesite thing is coming. People love the graves. People like to walk in the cemetery. People like to know about the dead people. You know, this is why I always said, I need a grave. People who don't want graves, they're missing. They're missing out. You got to have a grave.
So you can write something on it.
Write something on it. You end up on a tour one day. Phone lines are open here, 49 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. But the Eber Baker thing, that fascinates me. But we've got Sarah, who's going to drive the bus. We've got Pastor Craig, who's going to supply the food and the beverage. That'll be fun.
Popcorn's a great idea.
Popcorn's no fruitcake, though. I don't even know if you can get them.
Right now?
I had one in my refrigerator. It was just aged properly. Oh, fruitcake. Oh, my.
That probably was a brick, for real.
Your mom enjoys the fruitcake, though.
Yes, she does.
Oh, I don't know how anybody...
Dad probably got her liking them.
They're awful. Have you had them?
Nope.
Oh, try it sometime. It's like chewing on wax lips.
Ugh.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Things that my dad would eat, I would not eat, probably. I mean, I eat like my mom, and my other sister, Amy, she eats more like my dad. She will try different things. I'm a plain Jane, I guess. I don't like to try different things.
Well, I get caught in my, I will try something, but, it all kind of depends. You know, I don't know. I like greens, and I like stuff like that. You know, like tonight for dinner, I had broccoli and grilled chicken. I love that.
And I had chicken and rice.
Yeah. But see, I'm not a rice eater, though. But I've learned that over the years. That's why I don't spend a lot of time in the Chinese restaurants.
I like rice.
Or the Japanese.
I like Mexican rice, like at the Mexican restaurant, and I like House Hunan rice, and then the rice I had tonight was really good. It was hibachi chicken.
Yeah, from the food truck.
Right.
I just wish I knew where Eber Baker... I'll get to this really quick here before the hour's up, because I'm going to try to find the Ebenezer Roseberry story for the next hour. I think I know where the book is now, if I can read this. You know, as the day goes on, my eyes... If I put my glasses on?
Maybe.
I could read this.
You want me to read it?
Well, this is from April 27th, 1980. I'm going to try here. April 27th, 1980. It's 41 years ago. Okay, this is about... The story today was on that day. Society recognizes Baker. And that was Eber Baker. It says, actual facts about the life of Eber Baker have been a little hard for local historians to come by. Among the certainties, however, is that Marion's founder was born 200 years ago today. So April 27th, 1780, must have been. Yeah, 200 years ago. This was April 27th, 1980. History books. See, it's a little rough for the eyes. Small print in these old newspapers. History books set forth that Baker was born April 27th, 1780, in Litchfield Corners, Maine, of English forebearers. His birthday anniversary is being observed in the Marion County Historical Society by a wreath-laying ceremony in the Marion Cemetery. See, here we'll get into it now. The whole cemetery bit. Municipal Judge Charlton Myers will speak during the 12:30 p.m. services at Baker's Grave, which is located on what cemetery spokesman call Summit Lot, a large elevated area registered in the name of Methabel Baker Sargent, the town founder's daughter. Historical Society members say the Baker Grave is located near the cemetery's famed Revolving Ball Monument. It's good when you yawn into the mic like that. That was good. This story is so exciting. Apparently, Baker and his wife, Lydia Smith, whom he married June 29th, 1802, and who died here in 1843, were buried earlier in the old cemetery on what now is Quarry Street. Ah, see? Now we're getting to it. It was developed as a burial ground on several acres donated for that purpose by Father Baker. As early Marianites are said to have been called, that's what they called the founder. They called him Father Baker.
Hmm.
Now, why? I guess he was because Father of Marian, I guess. The bodies later were transferred to the present Marian Cemetery on Delaware Avenue, where they were buried on their daughter's lot. Oh, so you hear this?
On their daughter's lot.
Okay, but here we go. We have no record of their burials, but there were markers for them on the lot, the cemetery spokesman said.
Hmm.
There you go.
Weird.
No record of their burials. The Maribel Baker married Marion Township Clerk Richard Sargent in 1831. Eber and Lydia's other daughter, Lydia, oh, they named her after the mother, I guess, married Judge Bowen. The Bakers were parents of three sons. Historians have described Eber Baker as a large, easygoing, slow-moving, generous, and congenial. Not really characteristics one would picture belonging to a frontiersman, a pioneer. He apparently became a confirmed family man at an early age and fathered his five children before coming to what now is Marion in 1821. History buffs seem generally to agree that he came into the former Greenville Treaty Territory of what later was named Marion County as a land agent for Alexander Holmes of Newark. All right. It is said he laid out a number of towns in this state and in 1821 sent Eber Baker here as his agent. Okay. Let's see. He was apparently a wealthy man, civically minded. Baker's name even appears on the very first Common Pleas court records here. Oh, now here we go. In 1824, the record states a case was heard involving the state of Ohio versus Eber Baker. Oh, see, even our founder. See, this is why you can't be positive. The state of Ohio versus Eber Baker, the latter accused of selling spirituous liquor to another early citizen.
Hmm.
He was a bootlegger.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my word. Baker did operate the town's first tavern along with his other ventures, including a grist mill, Father Baker's peach and apple orchard, and Father Baker's wood. Boy, he was a man of the money.
Hmm.
He knew what he was doing. History books tells us that the former was used in common as if it were town property. A writer also says he was in the habit of signing bonds and notes as surety and generally was in need of money. He was a grifter. But another said, in being land poor and signing bonds and notes in surety, he merely did as nearly every other pioneer. Okay. On April 3rd, 1822, he filed the plat for the village of Marion and named it for the county, which had been set off from Delaware County. Okay, named for General Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox. Baker lived along and hopefully happily until his death on October 6th, 1864, at the age of 84. Long time back in those days.
Wow.
A second marriage after Lydia died was to Susan Wilson. So he the state of Ohio sued him in 1824 because he sold liquor.
Wow.
Eber Baker, the founder of Marion. So now you know.
Were you not allowed to sell liquor back then?
Apparently
not. Or he was just doing it
illegally.
Illegally.
Yeah. Father Baker. You know, that's interesting to me. I don't know. I find that stuff interesting. Anybody have anything to say about Eber Baker? Now you know the story. But again, no records of him ever being moved. Don't you think they would have a record if they had exhumed his body and his wife and put him over there?
Oh, yeah.
So you think he's still over on Quarry Street?
Probably.
On his property. 740-383-9944. Give me a call if you have anything to say about the founder of Marion, Father Baker.
Oh, by the way,
brought up on charges.
Your story wasn't boring.
You seemed a little tired there, about halfway through it.
Well, I didn't get to bed till like 2:15 in the morning, so I am a little sleepy.
So what do you think as we head out of this first hour about Father Baker, Father Eber Baker?
You know, I don't know. Is there anything about the swamp fox? Did that person die in Marion? That Marion's actually...
No, I think he was dead a long before. Cause I think he was a Revolutionary War guy.
Huh.
But Eber lived to be old.
Well...
84.
I want to go to that grave. I want to go down Quarry Street and check
and
it
see,
out.
See, I don't know if... It, but I don't think there's a tombstone that says Eber Baker over there.
Yeah, but online, I was looking it up, and somebody had posted a picture, and it said Baker, but it was different than the gravestone at Marion Cemetery. Like, there was two different ones, so I'm wondering if the other one, like the original, would have been the one on Quarry Street.
We'll keep the search up. Stay tuned. We're coming back in 15 minutes.
Ceiling things and everything. The height of one time, well, two times, is a big story. This we had been into teaching us how to know how to recognize somebody's ceiling. So this woman came up, and she was walking funny like this. And so I thought, well, something's wrong here. I think she's got something between her legs, because we had seen that before, you know, in teaching. And so I went up and bumped her, and sure enough, a turkey fell out.
you know, is there any particular reason, I'm glad it does, but that the sign still stands over there?
Oh, yeah. Well, some truck hit it the other day, and,
oh, gosh.
And it shook it up. It didn't come down, but I thought about taking a shotgun in there and blow it up. But
WWDH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Like us on Facebook by searching WWGH, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, and clicking